We took off, and I thought, well, now I can kind of look around and listen carefully to Mike. And he said, you want to fly, Joe Henry? And I said, sure. You know, I didn't want to turn down the flight time. So I was getting my stuff out of the way so the stick wouldn't get in the way. And this knee board that I had taken off the maps, I pushed it over, and it wouldn't go anywhere good. So I unstrapped it and laid it on the side console so that I could make an impression on this old head who was giving me my checkout. And I didn't notice it, but the bottom of the clipboard was a little bit different than what I was used to, and I had to kind of shove it to get it to stay over there on the side console. Well, the jettison buttons for the tip tanks were over there. and I was trying to position that damn knee board, and the left tip tank blew off. And we had just crossed over.
I missed that. You're going to have to repeat that one. That was worth repeating.
Well, you'll see in this interview, Mike is a real he loves a good joke, and he's a real straight ace guy. I mean, he can't fool you with where his attention is. In fact, I have no idea what he's thinking about now. But the tank blew off, and Mike didn't say anything. And I thought, God, I wonder if I can get away with it. I wonder if I could blow should I blow the other tank off so maybe he'll notice it. I mean, anybody could notice a 104 with one tip tank on it, but if it's got two tip tanks, you know, how do you know? And so I said, hey, Mike, did you hear that thump? And Mike is up there saying, you know, he just turned the airplane over to me, so he's probably already asleep. He said, what thump? And I said, well, I think I may have just blown a tip tank off. And he said, oh, really? Well, seems to be flying okay. Let's press on with the checkout. And boy, bless his heart, that's why Mike is such a good friend of mine. I'm still trying to be his friend, but that's why he's a good friend of mine, is because, you know, he covered for me. I don't know what you told the guys back at Ops.
I don't know. It sounds like the flight from hell. I mean, I was innocent. I thought you had a bottle underneath the knee board. And I, the rest of the story, you kind of lost me there.
I was wondering. So did he get a call sign for that? You know, when you make a mistake like that, you usually get a call sign. Oh, we had a guy in Germany I was flying with. He jettisoned a tank. He's been called Tank ever since. So did you guys give Joe a call sign for that?
I don't think so.
No?
No, I think Mike was really great. That's why I like him so much. He covered for me that day. And that, I don't know how he did it. But.
So I also heard a story, Mike. You'll have to verify that this one might be true as well. Something about 2.75 rockets and going out to create a tank killer, Joe.
Oh, the MABFRAG.
You guys were going to...
The parachute bomb. Or
yeah, I remember.
The parachute bombs.
It's a pretty big thing. It's more than 2 inches, and I think it's a little less than 3 inches. I don't know. I wasn't too clear on that, but it was, yeah. How did we get to be talking about that? Did I fire one by mistake? What did I do that?
No, but
there was something about you thought he couldn't hit the broadside of a barn, so you were going to sit in the tank and let him try to shoot you.
Oh, he wasn't going to sit in the tank. No.
No?
This was a new weapon cluster that at Edwards, you got a lot of these things that would come in from the field and say, run separation tests on them, make sure they clear the airplane. And that was what we were going to be doing with it. But they were those little canisters about like a Coke can, about the size of a Coke can. And they had a little parachute on them that when you deployed them, they'd slide out of this tube and the parachute would open. And it had a shaped charge on the inside, which when they impacted, it would trigger the charge. And it focused the pressure wave so that it would blow a little tiny hole in a tank. And they wanted to, Edwards got the assignment to see, make sure it would deploy from an F-100 okay. And Mike and I were, I don't know what we were doing, playing AC-DC or something. And Mike went to the military academy, the West Point. So he's a West Point graduate, the long thin line. And he said, you know, I drove a tank at summer camp one day or during summer between years. I drove a tank. I can drive a tank. And so we cocked up this chess program where Mike would, we were going to borrow a tank from Fort Irwin and have it trucked over to Edwards. And then we were going to have maintenance, or have ordnance guys put little white phosphorus charges in these bombs instead of the shaped charge. And we figured Mike could take the tank out to the gunnery range, and I would take off with a 100 and find him out there, and I would make a pass. And we had a bet that, I don't forget what we bet, probably, I don't know, but bet that I could hit you with this thing. I could hit you with this cluster of tanks, with this cluster of bombs. Parachutes would fall down and just blanket an area. And Mike was convinced that I could never catch him in a tank because he knew how to drive a tank. He'd been to West Point. Hell, who would, if you've been to West Point, surely you can dodge these little parachutes coming down. We had a great little program planned out, and the guys, you know, the other pilots, they loved the idea, but we couldn't sell it to the guys on up the stairs. So we never got to do that program. But. Well, if you don't believe the story, was it good? Did you like it anyway?
I think I missed parts of it. There was no sex in it.
Not in this one, no.
You know, other than that, I guess it was kind of okay.
I'm done. The rest of them go to him.
The rest of them go to him, okay. So, Mike, what coming out of Edwards then, what was the path for you into the astronaut program? How did that work?
I'm sorry, what was
what? What was your pathway from Edwards into the astronaut program?
I don't know. I think going through Edwards was a good preparation. For example, they recently picked 12 astronaut candidates, and they had over 18,000 applicants. You know, with that kind of arithmetic, no way in hell I'd end up as an astronaut. But I think that the program's in good shape, and it's well staffed, and they know where they're going and need a little money to get there, and off we go again.
So what did you, what were your first assignments then when you showed up at NASA?
Oh, when I first showed up in NASA, I don't remember what the hell I did. I sort of fiddled with paperwork for a long, long time, and then eventually I got assigned to a backup crew on Gemini. I was on a backup crew with a guy named Ed White, who unfortunately was killed in a fire aboard Apollo 1, but Ed was a classmate of mine from West Point. He was a fantastic guy. He was part of an intercollegiate track team that won the East Coast honors that where he was a terrific athlete and just a wonderful guy. He sort of led me around, and so I went from a backup crew to a crew with John Young. John Young and I were, John Young, was probably of his time the most successful of astronauts. He flew a couple of Geminis, a couple of Apollos, a couple of shuttles.
Right.
He was head of the astronaut office. I remember well, we had a press conference. And